You are listening to a Sun Life podcast. We pray that you will be blessed with the teaching of God's Word. For more sermons, visit sunlife.org.au.
Good Friday. We celebrate His resurrection, Easter Sunday. Clearly, whatever Jesus did 2,000 years ago, He made a difference which echoes even to the present time. Now, we read the Bible and then we see verses like this. Let me take you to a few verses. For example, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. Be imitators of me, just as I also am of Christ. This is Paul writing to the Christians in Corinth. He would say to them, hey, copy me, imitate me, because I imitate Christ. In other words, if you imitate Paul, you're imitating Christ. Or how about 1 Peter, the Apostle Peter? He would write in chapter 2, verse 21, for this, right, you have been called because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow His steps. He's left you an example. Now you're called to what? Follow His steps. Or how about Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1? Therefore, be imitators, right, of God as beloved children and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave Himself up for you. Clearly, if you read the Bible, there's a pattern. Jesus came, He served, He made a difference. We, who are so-called followers of Christ, we are also called to make a difference. We're also called to live a life that would benefit those around us. And I love it last week when we were celebrating Simon's 50th. He said to me during the week, he says, Pastor Ben, it is a great milestone to reach 50, but it's a reminder that life is coming to an end. It's a reminder that we lose time and we never gain time. That's the reality. Every single one of us here, we would never gain time. We're always losing time. So as you celebrate a birthday, it's a reminder that you are losing time. And Simon would say to me, well, it's a reminder that I have limited time left and I really want to make a difference. I really want to make the most of my days. And that got me thinking. And this morning here, I want to preach from you from 1 Peter chapter 4, where the Apostle Peter talks about time, running out of time, and that we are called to make the most of whatever time we have left. And in verse 1 to 11, as I was studying during the week, I found six points. And I said to myself, am I going to preach a six-point sermon? Come on, Pastor Ben. I'm not. I realize that there's so much going on that I've decided to split my sermon to a part A and a part B. So this morning here, I'm going to give you 3 points, and next week I'm going to conclude the sermon with the remaining 3 points. And I want you to understand that Peter is reminding the Christians that time is running out and that we have to make a difference. And I want to show you six areas or six attitudes that we must have if we want to make a difference. So let me tell you right now, the three things I want to talk about is we must have an all-in mentality, all-in, fully committed if we want to make a difference. We must have a resilient mentality because it's not going to be easy if we want to make a difference. And finally, we must have an eternal mentality. We have to think eternally if we want to make a difference. I want to unpack those three things this morning, all right? So let me pray and we'll get straight to work. Father God, I pray now, would you help me to expound your word? Would you open our spiritual eyes and ears to hear you? And Lord, may you challenge us. May we leave this morning changed. Help me, in Jesus' name I pray, amen. So if you have your Bible, please now turn to 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1. Here we go. We need an all-in mentality. You notice what Peter would say in verses 1 and 2. Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves with the same attitude. Because whoever suffers in the body is done with sin. As a result, they do not live the rest of their earthly lives for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. You notice what he's saying? That these people, these Christians, are called to live the rest of their earthly lives, not for their selfish desires, but for the will of God. And that's the word of God for you and I. If we love Jesus, if we are a follower of Christ, then we need to understand that we are running out of time and that we are to live the rest of our days for the will of God. We are to find out our purpose. We are to find out our calling. We are to find out our gifting, and we're going to live that out. There's a saying, it goes a bit like this. The purpose of life is to discover your gift. The meaning of life is to give your gift away. Every one of us here, we need to find out God's calling, God's will for us. And can I just say this, that God's will for you is more obvious than you make it out to be. There's something about the Christian faith where we like to make God's will very mystical, very magical. It has to be a prophecy or a vision. I want to say this to you, that sometimes you just need to look at your situation, look at the way God has wired you and your circumstances, and you're living out the will of God. For example, if you're 160 centimeters high and 55 kilograms, I don't think it's God's will for you to be a basketball player. Stop dreaming about that. It's not going to happen. Look at the way you're wired. All right? Don't make it out to be too mystical. There's a story of a crop farmer. One day he wanted to know God's will for him, so he started praying and fasting. He found this little tree and started praying, God, will you show me my will? Will you show me what I should do with the rest of my days? And after he prayed, Amen, he opened up his eyes and looked towards the heaven. And in the sky, he saw some clouds. And there's this formation of the letters PC. PC. He says, aha, I am to preach Christ. God has told me to preach him. So he sold his farm, went to Bible college, did an intern in the church, started preaching Christ from town to town. He wasn't a really good evangelist. One day his friend said to him, hey Tom, I want to be honest with you, mate. I don't think you've got the gift of an evangelist, because people are actually running away from Christ and not towards Christ. I don't think PC stood for preach Christ. I think it meant plant crops. You know, sometimes we make it out to be so mystical and we go, this is what God wants me to do, without realizing we need to look at the way we're wired. Look at our circumstances. Maybe you're serving God right now and you're finding such joy and such life in it. That's probably where God wants you to be. Stick it. Stay there. Keep serving God faithfully. But whatever it is, when you find out your calling, when you find out your purpose, you've got to have an all-in mentality. You've got to be fully committed. If you are not fully committed, I tell you something, you will not make a difference. You've got to be all-in. And I want to show you that in the text. Go with me back to verse 1. Look what Peter would say. Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because whoever suffers in the body is done with sin. Peter would say, Christ suffered in his body. He's referring to the previous chapter. We need to go to chapter 3, verse 18. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. You see, Peter's referring to the cross. He's saying that Christ suffered on the cross, and in his death, your sin forgiven, and because of the death, you now can be reconciled to the Father. But we need to understand that when Jesus went to the cross, he was all in, totally committed. The commitment of Jesus towards God is the same commitment that you and I must have if we want to make a difference. We cannot be half-hearted. We cannot say, well, I'm half in, half not in. No, if you want to be someone who'll be influential, if you want to make a difference, listen carefully. We must have an all-in mentality. Christ, he was all in, fully committed to the cross, knowing that his life would die on the cross. Friends, If we want to make a difference for the rest of our days, whatever giftings, whatever purpose, whatever we are doing, ask ourselves the question, are we all in? Are we fully committed? Or are we half-hearted? You notice the language here is to what? Arm yourselves with the same attitude. Some translation, the same what? Thinking, the same intention, the same mindset as Christ. It's military language. Peter's saying, if you go to war, you've got to arm yourself. You've got to be prepared. You've got to fight that battle. And you've got to win that battle. And listen carefully. The battle that we have to fight is to win a wasted life. Because if we're not careful, all we're going to do is live that wasted life. A life that He died for us so that we can make a difference. And to make a difference, we must be all in. If you are serving this church here, if you are serving anywhere, ask yourself the question, am I all in? Don't be someone who would say, yeah, I'll help out with kids' church, but I won't attend any of the kids' leadership session. That's not all in. Oh, you know, Pastor, I'll tell you how to spend church finances. I'll show you where we should spend the money, but I won't give. That's not all in. You know, I'll be a great community leader and I'll shepherd people and I'll care for people. But I'm not going to address their sinful lifestyle. I won't address the elephant in the room. That's not all in. When we are all in, we're fully committed. We say, God, I'm going to give you everything. And I guarantee you with that attitude, with that mentality, we will make a difference. I love it how Proverbs 16:3 says this, commit to the Lord. Oh, fully commit to the Lord, whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. I want to say this to the parents dedicating their children to the Lord this morning. I want you to be all in the way you raise up your child. All in. If you want to make a difference in the lives of your son or daughter, you've got to be all in. You can't just come here and dedicate your child to the Lord and then that's it. I'm not going to talk about Jesus at home. That's not being all in. I'm not going to pray with my children. I'm not going to open up the Word of God. That's not all in. I want to come to church every now and then when it's a special occasion, but most of the time we'll just sleep in. That's not all in. If you want to make a difference in the lives of your children, ask yourself the question, am I all in for Christ? And if you are, do it. And that's when you make a difference in the lives of your children. So parents, my prayer for you is that what took place this morning here is the start of an attitude that I'm all in making a difference in the lives of my children. I'm going to be committed in praying for my children. I'm going to be committed in opening up the Word before my children. I'm going to be committed in depending on the strength of God in raising up my children. I'm going to be committed in letting my children understand the importance of Sunday worship. I'm going to be here. That's all in. And I guarantee you, parents, if you have that mentality, you will make a difference. Amen. So that's the first mentality, to have an all-in mentality. Secondly, we must have a resilient mentality. The ability to bounce back up when we fall. Because let me say, if you want to make a difference, if you're living out the will of God, it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy. Look with me in the text in verse 3. For you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. You see, Peter was describing their former lifestyle. That's what you used to do. They're your activities. But obviously, that wasn't their lifestyle today. And I'm pretty sure, reading that list, some of you, you may can relate and identify yourself in living that lifestyle. But meeting Christ, I'm confident that's not you today. In fact, I'm 100% sure that will not be you in eternity future. But that was your past. But now look what happens in verses 4 and 5. They are surprised that you have joined, that you do not join them in their reckless, wild living, and they heap abuse on you. But they will have to give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. You see, as some of the people back then, they had friends who were not Christians, and they were surprised that these people would not join with the former life. Maybe for some of us, we can identify ourselves with that situation. You've got certain friends who don't get it. They haven't met Jesus yet. And they're asking you to go out with them on a Saturday night to hang out with their mate, Johnny Walker and Jack Daniel. But you say, no, I don't want to do that no more because I've got a responsibility the next morning. I'm worship leading. I can't go out. I've got to sleep and have a good rest because the next morning I'm leading worship. They don't get that. They're surprised. What happened? We used to go out Saturday night all the time and now you're sleeping at 7:30 p.m. What's going on? Oh, we used to go to the casino. You know, you love money. You love making money. You're always betting on black. And now I asked you to go to the Crown and you don't want to go. What happened? I'm surprised. You know, you say things like, well, I don't put my security in money anymore. I put my security in Christ. We don't get you. What happened? We're surprised. But look in the text. It's worse than that because at the end of verse 4, Peter would say, they will heap abuse on you. They will speak evil of you. They will insult you. They will call you weak. They'll call you weak. Look at you. You're so weak. You can't even go out with us anymore. It's Friday night and you're going to where? You're going to church to do what? To do youth group? Oh, that's weak. Because who wants to hang out with some high school kids? You're weak. You should be out clubbing with us. What are you doing on Sunday morning? You're going to church? What? Sunday's when we sleep in. Sunday's when we, you know, recover from the hangover. You're weak. And they'll say things about you behind your back. I don't know if you've experienced that before. Maybe you have. Maybe you've come to know the Lord and in your family, certain family members, they're saying bad things about you behind your back. They're calling you names. They're calling you a goody-goody. They're calling you weak. They're calling you soft. It's not going to be easy. You see, when you want to make a difference, when you know God's calling for your life and you begin to live that out and you're all in, you will be persecuted. And that's why you must have a resilient mentality. That you've got to be able to say, you knock me down, I'm going to stand back up. And I'm not going to let anyone push me down because I know what I'm living for. That's resilient. There's a toughness, there's a grit. No matter what comes your way, no matter how many times you fall, you will pick yourself up because you know that you are called to live in such a way to make a difference. The problem with humanity, you and I'll be honest with you, is that we all want to make a difference, but we don't want the pain associated with making a difference. Is that right? We like the end product, but we don't want to endure the process because it's too much work. But let me say this, if you want to see the end product, you've got to endure the process. And the process means there'll be times where people will mock you, where people will speak evil of you, you'll be knocked down, but you better stand back up. You've got to have a grit, you've got to have a toughness, that's resilient. And if you keep doing that, that's how you make a difference. And we see that here. I love the former president of South Africa, Nelson Mandela. He says this, I quote him, "Do not judge me by my success. Judge me by how many times I fell down and got back up again." How many times I got back up again. I'm a big fan of Michael Jordan. I found his quote. And he says this, you know, "I've failed over and over and over again in my life. And that is why I succeed." You see, friends, the Apostle Peter, when he wrote this, he understood resilience. Because he was the same apostle that fell 3 times, but that never kept him down. He was the apostle that denied Jesus 3 times, remember, in the gospel. Just before the crucifixion, before Jesus would go to the cross, this was Peter, puffed chest, Mr., you know, hot-tempered Peter saying, well, you know, though they all will fall away because of you, I will never fall away, Jesus. That was Peter. Even if I must die with you, Jesus, I will never deny you, Jesus. That was Peter. And we know what happened as we read through the gospel. Jesus is now captured. He's arrested. He's in public trial. All the disciples scatter. They run. They hide. And Peter's hiding in the crowd. And someone notices Peter and says, "Oh, you're one of the disciples." And Peter says, "No, I don't know Jesus." He denies Jesus 3 times. But as we read through the gospel account, he got back up. He got back up, and one day he preached a message where thousands would receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. He becomes an apostle to the Jews. He becomes one of the key leaders in Jerusalem, and he writes 2 letters found in the New Testament. You see, if he stayed down, he would not do those great things. He got back up. He understood resilience. He understood how tough life can get. He knows that when you're knocked down, you need to get back up. That's resilience. And can I say to you, Sun Life Church, if you want to make a difference, if we want to make a difference, we have to learn to get back up. Let me briefly give you 5 things that you can do to build resilience. Number one is understand that problems will come. That's just the reality of life. That's the reality of following Jesus. They hate Jesus and they'll hate you. That's the reality. Just know in your mind that you will face problems. Number two, remember that God is still in control. No matter what you are going through, whatever suffering, whatever pain, God has a purpose. God has not, hid his face from you. He is still sovereign. He is still in control. He knows what he is doing. Number three, pray and ask God for strength and help. If you are knocked down, you pray to God and say, "God, will you give me strength? God, I know that in my weakness, your strength will be perfect. Lord, I need your power right now." Learn to pray and ask God to pick you up when you are down. Number four, stay in the moment. What I mean by that is don't start looking too far ahead. Don't look about, what's around the corner. Just stay in the moment. Overcome that situation. Have a small victory and stay in the moment and trust that tomorrow will be okay. Don't look too far ahead because that's going to slow you down. And number five, seek the support of those around you. God has given you that brother and that sister in the Lord. Don't be a lone ranger. Don't be down by yourself. Have someone around you praying for you, and I guarantee you, you would build resilience. So far we know to make a difference, we need to have an all-in mentality. We need to have a resilient mentality. And finally, we need to have an eternal mentality. We need to understand that whatever we do, may it have eternal value. That's very important. I have a little folder on my desktop, on my computer. It's called the temp folder. Some of you may have a temp folder. And inside the temp folder, you might have temp files. Temp files, whether it's a document or whether it's a photo or video, it's in there. And after you've used that file, you tend to drag that file, that temp file, into the trash can and delete it. Is that correct? Now, computer expert says this. I could be wrong. You can correct me later on. That if you have too many of these temp files inside your temp folders in your computer, it slows down the system and it takes up disk space, right? It takes up storage space. It's not good. It slows down. I'm getting a lot of nods. That's good. I'm saying something right. That's very, very good. And I wonder if, for some of us, we do certain things where they're like temp file activities. I mean, they're not evil. They're not bad. But they don't have eternal value. And we're doing a lot of these things which are not bad, not evil, but there's no eternal value. And all these small temp things are taking up the space of our lives. And we find ourselves no space, no energy to do the will of God. And we begin to complain when we say, "God, I don't have much time. I can't do this. I can't serve here. I can't do the soup kitchen. I can't help out with kids. I can't run a group because I've so much in my life." But maybe some of those things are temp things. Some of those things don't have eternal value and you're just doing them and not realizing that they're slowing you down. They're taking up this space in your life. And maybe it's time for us to drag them into the trash can. You see, what we see here in verse 6 is this mentality of eternity. Look with me in verse 6. "For this reason, the gospel was preached. The good news was preached, even to those who are now dead, so that they might be judged according to human standards in regard to the body, but live according to God in regard to the spirit. This is a very confusing verse, but let me try to teach this verse to you all. You see, back in Peter's time, the gospel message was preached. Jesus Christ was preached, and people believed. Unfortunately, some people died. And even those who preached the gospel message, they also died. And so there was a group of people saying, what a hopeless faith. I mean, why put a trust in a God that would allow his people to die? What a silly faith. And these people were mocking these Christians who died because of the faith. They died because they preached the gospel message. Because we know church history tells us that in the early days, the early Christians, they were killed because of the faith. So some of these people are saying, what a silly faith, what a ridiculous faith, what a waste of time, what a waste of life. They died, they placed their trust in a God who let them die. What a silly faith. But you notice what Peter would say? Look carefully in the text. They might be judged according to human standards, but they live according to God. Let me take you to some other translation to actually illustrate my point. Go with me to the NASB, the New American Standard Bible Translation. That though they are judged in the flesh as men, they live in the spirit according to the will of God. How about the New King James Translation? They might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. You see what's going on there? This is what Peter's saying. Some of these people who came to faith, they died. And the world around them said, what a waste of time. What a hopeless faith. In the eyes of men, their faith was nothing. They died. But in the eyes of God, they live. You see, sometimes when we do something that has eternal value, the world may laugh at us and say, what a waste of time. You're judged in human eyes. But the word of God says you live according to God. It reminds me of the great missionary Jim Elliot. You may know of him. You've heard of him. A young fella. He was married for only 3 years. Had this calling to leave America, to go to Ecuador, to preach to the native Indians there, to bring them the gospel message. At the age of 28, he lost his life. The spear... They speared him, right? The hands of those who speared him were those he was trying to reach. Married for only 3 years, died at the age of 28 in 1956. I can imagine all the people who could not get this say, what a wasted life. What a wasted life, dying for some Jesus. You should have stayed back in America. Why did you decide to go to Ecuador? You've been married for 3 years, didn't get a chance to have a family. What a wasted life. And as you read through his story, you find out that his wife and some other missionary came into that village and they began to preach the gospel message and the entire native Indians there came to faith. Transformation took place because of one brave man who died at the age of 28. And I love one of his quotes. He says this, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose." Because I don't care in the eyes of men if they think that I've wasted my life. I don't care if they're judging me with their fleshy eyes. But in the eyes of God, I live. You cannot take that away from me. In the eyes of God, I am victorious. I have done the will of God, even if death takes me away. That's an eternal mentality. That's living in a way where you are thinking about eternity. And whatever you do, there's eternal value. If whatever you're doing today have no eternal value, ask yourself the question, is it taking up too much space? Is it time for me to put it away and focus on what God wants me to do because my days are slowly coming to an end? We're all running out of time, my friends. Sun Life Church, I want to encourage you to keep that in mind as you live the rest of your days. You know, we are not called to be a gathering. I mean, I love this. Don't get me wrong. I love us coming together for an hour and a bit to worship the Lord. I love this gathering. But can I say this? The world, we have too many gatherings already. You want a gathering? Go to a nightclub. There's a gathering there. You want to go to the gathering? Go to the footy match or go to the shopping center. There are heaps of gatherings, right? This is not a gathering. We are the people of God. We are Christ's followers. We are disciples of Jesus. And we are called to make a difference. Amen. We are called to reach our community. We are called to live in a way that we would bring value to those around us, and may what we do have eternal value. That's my prayer for this church here. Let's not live a life that is wasting. Come to church on Sunday, hear a good word, sing a few songs, go home. I might join my community group in the week, but that's all I'm doing. Don't live that life. That is a wasted life. Live a life that will make a difference. A life that will see people meet Him. Be all in with what you're doing, an all in mentality. And if you get knocked down, have resilience. Stand back up. Don't give up. And think eternally. Eternally. Whatever you do, may there be eternal value. That's my prayer for this church. I'm so blessed to lead this church. I'm so blessed to be part of this church. But my prayer for us all is that we make a difference with this one life that we have. That time is running out. We are not gaining time. We are losing time. Amen. I don't know when the Lord's taking you home. I pray many years to come. But we do not know when He's taking us home. May we make a difference in this life. An all-in mentality. A resilient mentality. An eternal mentality. Amen. Next week, I unpack 3 more. All right? So if I see you next week, then I've done a good job today, right? If I see no one, then that's all right. Can I pray for us all? Let's pray.